them days, Dave. Shouldn't have got out of my way. All right, our message today comes from Psalm 27. And we're going to read the whole chapter of 27, 1 through 14. So I am in the New Living Translation, so if you're in a different verse, that's fine. Or excuse me, in a different translation, that's fine. Let's go to the Lord and see what He has to say. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.' Do not turn back from me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, again, wait patiently for the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome to Bethel. This sermon's title is Courageousness is Found in the Lord. As you all know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day set aside to remember those who have died in service of our nation. Many of you know of someone who died during their service in the military. For some, they have been your parents or brothers or sisters, aunts, uncles, family members, cousins, and unfortunately also your children. Tomorrow, we take pause to express a small token of the rightful appreciation due to these men and women. Tomorrow is more than a three-day weekend. Tomorrow is a day of remembrance for the faithful who gave their lives defending a cause more important to them than their own future. You see, tomorrow we honor those men and women who gave their lives to today so that you and I could sit here today, this very day, and all of the things that we are blessed in, including our freedom, are possible. Tomorrow we honor those men and women who graciously gave of themselves for you and for me, many of whom we did not know. Tomorrow is a stark example of the cost of our freedom, a cost thousands have paid, but yet millions of us reap the benefit of their sacrifice every day. As an American history enthusiast, I have always enjoyed learning how our nation was founded. When we study American history, we learn that we are here because of the sacrificial ideology of our founders and framers, and those patriots who believed in something greater than themselves. The idea of freedom wasn't a new one, but in the early years of the United States, it would be one that came at a great cost. And today, some 247 years later, we still are paying that cost. Maybe not as heavily, but it still has a cost. As I personally reflect on this meaning of tomorrow, several images of our nation's history come to mind. Both were pivotal events in our nation's history, but I think of them slightly different than you will. And when I recite these events in history, you'll recall them because we've all studied U.S. history. Many of us are history buffs, so we'll know what I'm talking about, but I see it maybe from a different perspective. The first event was on a long and fearful night off the coast of Baltimore during the British barrage of 1812. A patriot by the name of Francis Scott Key penned a poem following his eyewitness account of a 25-hour siege of Fort McHenry. That poem was called The Defense of Fort McHenry. It begins like this: "Oh, I say, you can see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, it should, because the poem turned into an anthem and later became our national anthem. But what's most important is, let me read on into that poem and the last stanza of that poem that's not in our national anthem. It says this: "Oh, thus be it ever when free man shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner is in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave." The second was on a Sunday morning, much like today, beautiful in its own right, some 82 years ago, when our nation was struck by an unprovoked attack on the island of Hawaii. The image of Pearl Harbor's bombing and its 2,400 casualties on December 7, 1941, have lived in the minds of Americans for years and decades. And as soon as I mention Pearl Harbor, that's the very first thing most Americans think about, is that tragic December morning. Our president at the time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, made a statement following the attacks that solidified our resolve as a nation that took our men and women to war. He said, and I quote, "No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory." President Roosevelt also said the following, not that day, but at another time: "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear itself." Friends, this brings me to my point this morning. What does it take to defend one's ideology? What does it take for us to defend our freedom? What does it take for us to defend our faith? What does it take for us to simply defend ourselves? It's a one-word answer. And that flag on that pole and the flags around me stand for it. It is courage. But most importantly, the altar of freedom to my left. Humbled by the flowers representing the lost and the patriotic colors of our nation, for which in God we trust. That represents courage. Courage like no other. When I think about courage, I think about fortitude and faith of those who gave their lives at the altar of freedom. Not just our men and women in uniform, but also our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is only fitting on this Memorial Day weekend that we hear the words from an ancient warrior, King David. As you may know, King David wrote the majority of the book of Psalms. And in the reading this morning, he provides us much guidance in that entire chapter. Three things that I took from it as I studied for this message was our power to endure life's battles, our plea during life's valleys when we're at our lowest points, but yet our confidence when life is in shambles. But the one I really want to focus on this morning is the power to endure life's battles. King David tells us that he was inspired by a different image than most warriors of his time. What comforted him, where he got his comfort from, was where his heart was. You see, his heart was in the midst of a blood-torn battle, and his ideology wasn't on a retributable justice or a patriotic music or an injustice served upon him. His mind, his ideology was nowhere there. Where his mind was on the gaze and the beauty of the Lord. Many of us can imagine a soldier on the battlefield longing to see their children, leaving their families they've left behind, their wives, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their entire family, going off into some unknown territory. We can imagine that trial and tribulation. But you see, King David in this passage is motivated and sustained simply on his focus of God. In verse 4 this morning, we heard these words. One thing I have asked for from the Lord, that I will seek also after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into His temple. In the midst of his enemies, all around him, despite adversaries and foes attacking him, King David finds his power and his inspiration in his hope simply to see the face of God. The image of God and the hope that comes in the Lord's power in his toughest days is what he seeks in the midst of his brutal campaigns. You see, this, I think, is an attractive vision for us as believers in Jesus Christ. There will be a time where we will all see God's face. My question to you this morning is, today do you seek it? There will be a time you shall see it. But today do you seek it? Friends, as I mentioned last week, this was also the request of Moses. I used Moses and Job in my message with you last week, and this was the very thing that Moses asked. He requested to see God's face. This was the demand of Job when he faced layer after layer of personal problems in his life. And this was also the reality of Isaiah when he saw the angels nearest to the throne of God cover their face in God's presence because of His glory. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Think about that for a second. To behold the beauty of God Almighty, can you only imagine? on this Memorial Day weekend, this is exactly what our fallen have seen. Those who we honor today, this is exactly what they see this morning. Make no doubt about it. They have all witnessed, and even today, they still get to see the glory and the beauty of the face of God each and every time their eyes open. This is exactly where our courage comes from. This is exactly what allowed them to sacrifice themselves for our very freedom. Through their personal courage and their faith in Jesus Christ. And thus comes the title of our message, Courageousness is in the Lord. It's not in you and me. It's in the Lord. That's where it comes from. So it brings another question to mind, though. Gaze at God or gaze at your problem? Or perhaps maybe it's this way. Gaze at God and glance at your problem. You see, this morning we all sit here as Christians. Even in the greatest of faith, we have issues. We have problems. We have struggles. How do we seek God today? On this honorarium of all days in the year, how do we look for God? Do we gaze at God and our problems, or do we gaze at God and only glance at our problems? Well, David and Moses, especially in this chapter this morning, knew what that looked like. In fact, they both knew that without God, everything else fades and everything else fails. They teach us an important life lesson when facing life's battles. Never start with your problem, but start first with God and heaven. This is the problem with so many of us today. We all know the problems facing us, but very few will look toward God for the solution. Many of us look to ourselves for the answer. Well, I just need to remind you, it's you that has the problem. It's you that carries the stress. It's you that has the issue. It's you that suffers the unknown. You don't have the answer too. But I rest assured, God Almighty has it. It's where you seek first for the answer. Where does your courage come from? Many of you are asking me, well, or thinking anyway, how do you gaze at God during life's battles? How's it even possible? You continually make your pleas to Him during the most difficult times in your life, but how do you gaze at Him? Well, it's right here in Scripture this morning. We just read it together. Hide not your face from me, God says. Turn not your servant away. Cast me not off, forsake me not. Those were all in the same verse we read this morning. Every problem and every temptation is an opportunity for us to gaze for God, just like King David taught us. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path, was very what you heard this morning in God's Word. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, he asked in Scripture this morning in 27:11. King David sought to live continually in the very presence of God Almighty. Your face, Lord, do I seek, he asked in Psalms 27:8. We need to gaze at God's face to power us through life's battles. As Christians this morning, do you gaze at your problems and glance at your Savior? Or do you look for your Savior first and set your problems aside and lay them at the foot of the altar? Friends, from God is where our courage comes from. Today and tomorrow, let's not forget the courage displayed by those who never made it home. It's the greatest example of courage known to humankind. But home is where they are. Yesterday they faced death. Today they face God in His glory. Let me close with a letter to Mrs. Bigsby. History informs us that Mrs. Bigsby had 5 sons. 2 died in battle and 1 died in a prison camp as a prisoner of war. 1 was honorably discharged and the other deserted. This was unknown at the time of the letter. All of her children were believed to have perished in the war. And thus, the War Department requested the following, a letter of condolence. And here's this letter. It's from the Executive Mansion, Washington, November 21, 1864. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of 5 sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word of mine which should attempt to bequeal you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic. They died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage you the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, President Abraham Lincoln. Here's your takeaway for today. I try to give you one each week. Some you take, some you may leave. But this one I don't want you to ever forget. The cost of our freedom is life. It began at that altar. It rests today at both altars. Never forget that. This is what we honor this weekend. This is what tomorrow is all about. It is through the courageousness of the fallen that we have our freedom. May we never, ever forget that. And may we never, ever forget the courageousness of those men and women who adorn a uniform each and every day, whether they've served, are serving, or will serve. May we never forget their sacrifices, even though they may not be ultimate. And that's what we honor this weekend. They are still sacrifices. They give up what you and I enjoy on a daily basis to make sure that we have the power and the ability and the freedom and the liberty to enjoy them. May God grant them all mercy, grace, and peace in their service and in their sacrifice. Amen.